see what he did. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 1, it says, "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle." We're in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 2. "Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side, Syria. And behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is Engedi.'" Now we see in those first two verses that Jehoshaphat the king had a big problem. The children of Ammon, the children of Moab were coming to attack, to destroy, to destroy this city, to kill these people. That's a big problem. Hey, that's not that's a lot bigger than my problem. That's a big problem that Jehoshaphat had. And people came and told him what was happening. There's a great multitude coming. They're coming to attack. That's a big problem for Jehoshaphat. Let's see what he does. Verse 3 says, "And Jehoshaphat feared," and right there at the beginning, we know that our problems, hey, they can get scary sometimes. We can have fear. "Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." That looks like a smart move. Verse 4, "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, 'O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?'" Jehoshaphat began to start a prayer to the Lord. Even those first verses, 3 and 4, how amazing it is to see what Jehoshaphat did with this problem. He set himself to seek the Lord. Yes, he was scared and he was nervous and worried about this trial, but he set himself to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast for all the city, and they began to ask help of the Lord. And Jehoshaphat began to pray. Let's keep reading, see what Jehoshaphat says in this prayer to the Lord. Verse 6, "And he said, 'O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit.'" We see in that prayer that Jehoshaphat began to remind the Lord of all that he had done for his fathers and for his grandfathers and for his relatives, and began to remind the Lord, "Hey, Lord, you did it for them. Can you do it for us? Hey, Lord, you did it for my grandfather and my ancestors. Can you do it for us, please? Can you help us?" And he said, "Lord," and he explained the Lord his problem. And that's probably the first step is, hey, whatever that trial, that struggle is, tell the Lord about it. Tell the Lord specifically what you're going through. Tell him. He wants to hear. Hey, he already knows what the problem is, but he wants to hear you tell him. He wants to hear you tell him. Let's continue to read. Verse 12, as he finishes his prayer, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. And watch this. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." This morning, I want to teach a quick lesson about what to do in the midst of a problem or a trial or a struggle or whatever you want to call it. What to do in the midst of a problem. And the first thing we find is in verse number 12. After it says, "For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do." Number one, in your problem, in your struggle, realize that we don't know what to do. Realize that you do not know how to fix your problem. Although we may think we do not know how to fix our problem. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 55. And we're going to turn a lot, so let's keep our thumb in 2 Chronicles 20. We'll go back to that very often, but let's go over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 9. Realize that we don't know what to do. Isaiah 55, we'll start actually in verse 8. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know that the Lord knows a whole lot more than I do? And the Lord knows a whole lot more than all of us do. And the Lord has our best interests in mind. Hey, the Lord knows how to fix our problem. But the thing is we have to realize that we don't know. We don't know. So many times in my life, I know I'm only 22 years old. I haven't had really big trials to really knock me down. But there have been times in my life where I've had struggles. I've had financial difficulties. I've had things, even being married with a new baby. And even in high school as a teenager, I had struggles and trials. And as a teenager, I can look back now at those trials and realize that they weren't that big of a deal. But as a teenager, they were a big deal to me. And right now, the struggles or trials that you're going through and that I went through, I know that so many times in my life, I tried to fix the problem on my own. I tried to figure it out on my own. I thought that I knew how to fix the problem. When I should have just realized that I didn't know what to do. Because the second that I think I know what to do, I'm on the road to failure. And the second that we think that we know what to do with our problems, we are on the road to failure. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I believe if there's anything that's going to prove my points, it's going to be the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We see down in verse 12, it says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I'll read it one more time for those of you who just got there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The second I think that I'm Mr. Big Shot and I can take care of my own problems in my life, I'm going to fall hard. The Bible clearly says it. The second I think that I can do it on my own and I can live my life by myself and I can fix all my problems, the second I think that, hey, I'm on the road to failure and I'm going to fall hard. The more I think of myself, the harder I'm going to fall. I need to realize I don't know what to do. Hey, you may be saying this morning, you know what, Donald? I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. Or I don't know how to fix this relationship in my life. Or I don't know how I'm going to raise my kids right. Or I don't know how to get my kids back on the right track. Or I don't know what God wants me to do for my life. Or I don't know how to get away from my past. And I don't know about the future. And I'm nervous. And I don't know how to get over this problem. And we may not know, but there is someone that does know. God knows. God knows. Hey, He is the hope for the hopeless, the water, the giver of life. He is the strength for the weary and love for those cast aside. Hey, He is the rest for the restless. He's freedom from fear. And when things seem impossible, know that He's near. For all of the problems in life, the answer is Christ. The answer is Christ. God knows my problem, and He knows the resolution to my problem, and He knows the answer to your problem. And we don't. Have you ever done something that you thought you knew how to do? You thought you knew how to do it, so you tried it anyway. I don't know really anything about working on cars at all. I don't. And I remember last summer, my Jeep Cherokee back home, again, like I said, I don't know much about cars. Apparently, you have to have oil in the car to run. So I checked it once in a while. Just my dad had showed me how to check it. So I checked it once in a while. But, you know, I guess I forgot to check it for a little while. And I began driving down the road with my wife. And I heard a clicking noise. Click, 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 click. And I'm like, what's that? Must be something in the tire. I don't know. Well, I had blew a head gasket on my Jeep. I made it home and called my dad and said, hey, the hood's smoking. What does that mean? What's going on? And I put some oil in the car, started back up. Well, the next day, the same problem happened. And it began to overheat. And we had to get it towed. Got it towed to my house, put it in my dad's garage, and my dad was going to help me work on the car. We weren't sure it was a head gasket. We found out later on it was. But my dad said, you know, we're going to work on it this week. We're going to change a lot of things in it. We'll change the water pump. We'll change the thermostat. We'll change the spark plugs and this and that. And this is gibberish to me. I'm like, okay, that'll be fun. Well, my father's a detective in Holyoke, and there was a murder that week. So he had to work about 90 hours, so he couldn't help me. Now, I needed my car. My wife needed the car for work, and we needed to get this back on the road. We were paying for a rental at the time, and we needed to have this car back on the road. So I said, all right. here we go. And I got a booklet out of how to fix your Jeep or whatever it may be. And I began to go through each different section. And you know what? I was actually at the end. I was kind of proud of myself. I changed the water pump right. I changed the spark plugs. I changed the oil all by myself with nobody's help. I didn't have to have Jiffy Lube do it. I did it all by myself. Well, one problem, though, is as I was putting the thermostat back in, there's a little piece that comes with it. I don't even know what it's called. I forgot. But you're supposed to put it in first, and I didn't know what I was doing. Ended up putting it in wrong and putting the housing unit back on the thermostat and started the car up, and it was great. Actually, we started the car up, and it started leaking around that thermostat area. My dad said, "What did you do, Donald?" I said, "I don't know. I put it on right. I'm pretty sure I put it on right." And he began to tighten it even more. I said, "Man, we got to tighten this up." And he began to tighten it, and the housing unit cracked. I said, "What's going on, Dad? I did it right." He takes it off. He said, "What's the problem?" And he realized that I had put it on wrong. I did it wrong. He goes, "Donald, what are you thinking?" And we had to get a new thing for that and stuff like that. Found out later on it was the head gasket. But what I'm getting at is that I thought I knew what I was doing. You know, I was looking at all the directions and I was trying to do this on my own. I didn't need Dad's help. I got it. And I made more problems. I made it worse. And it's the same with our problems in our lives. When we try to fix them and do it on our own and think that we know everything and we can fix it on ourselves, we just make it worse. We just make the problem worse. Let's turn over to John chapter 3. And thank you so much for turning everywhere. John chapter 3. Man, we got to realize that we don't know what to do. Hey, how can we realize we don't know what to do? This verse is going to put it right into perspective. John chapter 3. St. John chapter 3. And verse 30 says this, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Hey, the more we make of God and the less we make of ourselves, the better our lives are going to be. Hey, the more that we trust God with our problems and make Him the big thing, the more we do that and make less of ourselves, our problems will begin to take care of themselves. God will take care of our problem. Hey, we need to realize that we don't know what to do. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're getting a good finger workout this morning. Turn these pages. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So we realized we don't know what to do. Now what do we do? 2 Chronicles 20. We'll continue reading. We'll continue reading 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We see in verse 12, as he said, "Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." Verse 13, look at this. "And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children." Now, as I think of that story, and I picture it in my mind, and all I can think of is, there's Jehoshaphat, and he had just said this prayer, and just prayed to the Lord for help, for guidance, and for strength. And all the people of Judah were gathered together, all their wives and their children and these families and these tribes, everybody was there together. And I can just picture as Jehoshaphat said, "But our eyes are upon thee." And all these families, from the littlest person to the oldest saint, all in that group of people just lifted their eyes and looked up. Looked up to God. Hey, realizing that they didn't know what to do. And looking to God. And that's the second thing. With your problem, after you realize you don't know what to do, second thing, look to God. Look to God. Look to God. Hebrews chapter 12, if you could turn over there with me. Hebrews chapter 12. Look to God. Hebrews chapter 12. We see in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Life's race. Hey, we're all running in life's race. It's a different race, but we're all running in our race of life. And you know, in our race of life, that there's hurdles sometimes and there's obstacles that we're going to have to get through. Those struggles, those trials, those problems. Hey, those are our hurdles. Those are our obstacles. And they say, "Donald, how can we run this race and make it?" Well, I believe verse 2 shows us how. It says, "Run with patience the race that is set before us." How? Comma. Verse 2, "By looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." By looking unto Jesus and realizing that He is the one that can take care of our problems. He's the one that will fix our trials and He'll bring us through to the other side. He'll help us run that race. In all of our problems, we need to look to God. Hey, when everything seems wrong in your life, look to God. Hey, when everything is right, look to God. When your life is a mess, look to God. When you feel alone and like no one is there for you, look to God. Hey, when your night is as dark as it's going to get, and the thunder's rolling and the rain is coming and it's hard, best thing you can do is look to God. When I'm walking through a valley and I feel there's no way out, when the winds of sorrow threaten me, they turn my world about, that's when I look to Jesus and what He's done for me. And I can lift my hands in praise to Him and shout the victory. When you look to God, He'll fix your problem. When you look to Him, He'll help you. I was a college student and I had no money. I was working a full-time job trying to pay my bill. And things were coming up and I didn't have the money I needed to pay my bill. I was about $1,500 behind on my college tuition at Golden State Baptist College in California. And it wasn't like I could just, you know, if I ran out of money, I had to go home, I could just drive home. I was all the way across the country. And I didn't have the money I needed to pay my college tuition. And I had heard story after story of people, the Lord providing the needs and all these different things, missionaries coming in, telling their stories. And I didn't have a story like that yet. I didn't have a time really where God just did something so amazing. I know He had saved me and He's taken care of me, but I needed something. And I realized, you know what? I'm working as much as I can. I had to realize, you know what? I'm doing everything I can. And it's not working. I need the Lord. And I had to make a decision. You know what? I don't know what to do anymore. So Lord, I'm going to look to You. I'm going to look to You. I began to pray. I even fasted. And I had other people praying for me. I couldn't ask anybody for money. My parents couldn't help me. And I began to pray and say, Lord, I know You don't want me to go home. I know that You want me here. Please provide this need. Lord, I need this amount of money. Please. I know You can do it. Began to pray and pray. And the day before I would have been sent home, the Sunday, I was going to be sent home on a Monday because I had no money. I was already financially withdrawn. The Sunday before, someone sent me a text message and ended up writing me a check for $1,500. I didn't ask for it. I didn't even tell them how much I needed. They said, hey, is $1,500 enough? I said, that's exactly how much I need. And I got to see God do great things. I got to see God take care of my problem. I looked to God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Hey, if I can trust God with all of my heart, not just some of it, but in every way trusting God, and lean not into my own understanding, which is pretty much realizing I don't know what to do. And in all my ways acknowledge Him, every part of my life, letting God make my decisions. It says He shall direct my paths. And He'll lead me, and He'll take care of the problems. Look to God. So we realized we don't know what to do. We look to God. Let's continue going on. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, only got about 15 minutes left. We're going to go right through the 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We'll continue reading. We stopped at verse 13. And verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 20 says, then upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, and bear with me on these names, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. The Lord was getting ready to speak to these people. The Lord was getting ready to give them an answer. Let's see what the Lord said. Verse 15, and He said, hearken ye, all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Third thing to do with our problems is remember it's God's battle. Remember, it's God's battle. Our problems are not our own. Our problems, our struggles, our trials, hey, they're not our own. God, they're God's. He wants to take care of them. He told Jehoshaphat, hey, the battle's not yours, it's God, it's mine. I'll take care of it. And in our lives, we need to do the same thing and realize that this is God's fight. It's His battle. He'll fight our battles for us. And He'll take care of it in His time. How I would love sometimes for God to take care of my struggles or trials on my time. But the truth of the matter is that God's way is the best way. Look at verse 16. After He said, the battle's not yours but God's. Verse 16, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Hey, this problem for Jehoshaphat, tomorrow the Lord is going to fix it. And in every single one of our problems, our struggles, our trials, there is a tomorrow. There's a tomorrow for all of our problems. There's a tomorrow for your struggle in your life. There's a time that God is going to fix that and make it right. But only He knows when the tomorrow is. Hey, maybe it will be tomorrow. Maybe it'll be next week or a year or who knows when. But there's a tomorrow for every problem in our lives. For every problem. Continue reading. Verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. That's awesome right there. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. He told them, hey, you don't even need to fight in this battle. And if we could realize that as Christians with the struggles in our life, that it's God's battle and we don't even need to fight it. We don't even need to worry about it. Now, will we worry about it? Yeah, we will. But we don't need to. And we don't even need to fight in that battle. God will fight the battles for us. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 30 and verse 5 that weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Hey, there's always going to be a tomorrow for our problems. Now you have that problem in your head, that struggle, that trial in your head. And you need to take that struggle, that trial, whatever it is that you're thinking about and remember and tell yourself right now, hey, it's God's fight. It's God's battle. He'll take care of it. Because when we try to fight our own battles, we'll always end in defeat. Hey, if David had tried to fight Goliath in his own power, he would have gotten creamed. He trusted God. And God gave him the power. If he had tried to do it by himself, he would have lost badly. But it was God who guided that stone, hitting Goliath right in the head. It was God that did that. And David knew it was God. David trusted God. And David remembered that it wasn't his fight. He remembered that. And we, as Christians, need to remember that it's not our fight. We're still in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Lastly, this morning, we realize we don't know what to do. We look to God. We remember that it's His battle. Let's continue reading in verse 18. The last thing. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Horhites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of his holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And look at verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Last thing to do in your problem, in your trial, is to praise Him no matter what. Praise Him no matter what. Hey, we see Jehoshaphat. Hey, he didn't get his people ready with swords and with shields and all these things. Hey, he appointed singers. He had people ready just to sing and praise the Lord. And we see in verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the enemy and they were smitten. God took care of the problem when they began to praise Him. Hey, if it's good in your life, if your life is good, then praise Him. Hey, if it's bad, praise Him. If your trial, your struggle, your problem is taking a long time, well, praise Him. Praise Him no matter what. Acts chapter 16, I'll go over to Acts 16. You can stay there. I know we're getting ready to be done right now. Acts chapter 16, if you'd like to turn there, you can. But I'm going to begin reading Acts chapter 16 and verse 19. We see it says, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the ruler. For in Acts chapter 16, verse 20, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither do observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. It does not sound like Paul and Silas are having a very good time right now, being beaten, being put in the stocks. Hey, they're going through a problem. They're going through a struggle right now. Did they complain? Did they get mad at God? Let's see, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God throughout their problems, throughout their struggle. Hey, they learned that they were going to praise God no matter what. Hey, Paul and Silas made a decision in their heart. Whatever they were going to go through was part of God's plan, and they were going to praise Him no matter what. You know, in our lives, amidst all our trials and struggles, we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. It's praise the Lord is probably the commandment that is spoken most in the Bible. It's praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All throughout the psalm we see, praise ye the Lord for His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord. Hey, I can think of just even my salvation testimony. The Lord saved my soul. Man, as an 11-year-old boy, I was on my way to hell, but God saved me. That's something to be thankful for. That's all I need to have a good life. But even beyond that, the Lord has chosen to bless me with a wonderful wife and a beautiful, healthy baby boy, and even opportunities such as this to come to this church and have the opportunity to preach His Word. I have so much to be thankful for. And if we look deep inside and at what God has given us, we have so much to be thankful for. And we can praise Him no matter what, because God has been good in our lives. God has been so good to us in our lives. I hope if there's anything you get from this lesson, just to trust God. Just trust Him with your problem. Hey, He knows all about it. And He wants to help you. Trust Him. Let go and let God. Realize you don't know what to do. Look to God. Remember that it's His battle. And praise Him no matter what. Because the truth is, everybody has a problem that only God can solve. Lord, we love You. We thank You.